Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today. I think, actually, as people sort of just come on in, I don't know if this is a good time, but Lisa's on next, and I thought maybe we could just take a second to thank the organizers of this conference for doing a good job organizing. This is really a way to get cheap applause. So I think what I'm going to try to do for this talk is more or less give it backwards, in that I'm just going to sort of show you the main result and then try to explain what it is that you're looking at, and then hopefully give you some motivation as to why it is I calculated what I did. Unlike Fred, I don't have a scheduled nap time for this talk, but I will still ask you to shut the lights just for a second while we put on an overhead. And then, actually, I have a handout as well. Just pass it back, please. So, let me just sort of tell you what it is that you're looking at. G here is a compact, simple Lie group. G tilde is its universal cover. And here are some integers, L-naught, associated to G. And I'll explain sort of what it is and where it came from in a moment. The handout, by the way, has a picture of the table. And I'll be removing this in a minute, but so the last column is the sort of point of the talk, and the star there is just because I couldn't fit all of this into that one space in the table. So it has a complicated description. So G is compact simple Lie group, which means you can view it as G tilde mod the fundamental group. And the fundamental group pi 1, so maybe I should, if it's all right, I'm going to actually now take this away, assuming everyone has a handout, and you can just stare at the handout from now on, just because I'm going to start using chalkboards. So I'll just leave that there. So here's the setting. I guess really to try to explain what's L-naught, okay? So G tilde will denote the universal cover of G. These are compact, connected, simple Lie groups. Which tells you that if you look at pi 1, it has to be a subgroup of the center. So the kernel of this homomorphism is central. It's a discrete normal subgroup in a connected group, so that means it's central. And in particular, if you look at the commutator map in G, which I'll denote phi, which takes any two elements and computes the commutator, this map has a lift to the universal cover. It lifts in a naive way. Just take any two representatives and compute their commutator, and sort of your error in choice of representative disappears because it was the error in each choice of representative was central. So when you compute the commutator, this map lifts canonically, and let's call this map phi tilde. Now, let's just state this as a fact for now. If you look at the cohomology of G tilde in degree 3, this is a copy of the integers. And L-naught, which is the number that appears on the table, is defined by well, can be defined by this. So if you look, let's write this down. If you look at the map phi tilde star on cohomology in degree 3 with integer coefficients, this map will have some kernel, necessarily a subgroup of Z, and it will have at least, well, it will have a generator, L0, and that's what defines L0. Okay? Let's write that down. So, at the very least, now you have a table in front of you and you know what L0 is. It's the result of a calculation. But of course, I'm assuming it's not clear why it is that anyone would compute this thing. And maybe I'll just say a few quick words about the computation. So this is a calculation in cohomology of Lie groups. And the calculation is mostly straightforward in that the classical Lie groups have been classified, their cohomology has been computed. So you just use the classification and compute for each Lie group. You look up the cohomology in papers by Baum and Breiter, or you shell out a couple $100 and buy Richard Kane's book. And after you see what the cohomology groups are, you just compute, and most of the time, this map here, the covering map, is surjective in degree 3 cohomology, which means you can just compute the induced map of the commutator, which is very straightforward. And in some cases, and particularly the hardest case, so was for the covering SU2, which double covers SO3, because in this map, the induced map in cohomology mod 2 is 0. And that's sort of the annoying thing, I guess. I don't want to say too much about how we got around this, at least not now, but what ended up being used was, say, the homotopy theory of the suspension of the projective plane. In particular, there was work of Zhi Wu that was called upon quite heavily in that one case. Okay. So to try and motivate why I computed L0 to begin with, I guess in a sense now then take some time and redefine it. Or at least view it as sort of the answer to another question. Okay? So, I guess this is while I compute L0. So I guess that's sort of an extended question that will hopefully be answered by the end of my talk. So I'm going to take some time just to sort of set up a few other underlying objects here and say there, and then we'll realize that L0 comes up in a different disguise, say. So, like I said, if you look at the cohomology with integer coefficients of the fundamental group, this thing is a copy of the integers. And if you consider the coefficient homomorphism, which takes cohomology with integer coefficients to real coefficients, the image of the generator, let's just call it 1, is, say, a distinguished cohomology class here. This is just a copy of the reals. And so here I'm writing this as the cohomology class of eta, where eta now is going to be viewed as a differential form. So I'm sort of implicitly identifying these two things. And this form eta, let me not say what it is, But let me just say that it has a nice description in terms of differential forms. And I'll leave it at that. So it's a three form on G tilde. Okay, so the reason why I say it has a nice description in terms of differential forms is you can calculate at the differential form level what the pullback of this map is, or what the pullback of this form is under this map, and it turns out that this thing is exact, and in particular, so this is exact, this is just a calculation, and in particular there is a two form in G cross G that satisfies this. So I'm just repeating the fact that this is exact. Okay? So this is a calculation you do, but in particular, so eta was not just a three-form, it's a closed three-form because it's chosen to represent this cohomology class. In particular, this tells you, so I guess IE, that the pair omega eta viewed as an element in the algebraic mapping cone of the map phi tilde star, I guess. Well, let me just write that. Is it okay if I put on a light? Thank you. Otherwise, there's the danger that I might fall asleep. Okay. Thank you. In particular, you get this relative class which is closed. Okay? So, I didn't write that down. Let me just do that here. So, this statement here as a relative differential form, I guess, is this one here plus the fact that d eta is zero. Anyway, there is a cohomology class. Let's call it alpha. And this thing lies in H upper 3 of phi tilde with coefficients in R. Okay, so all of this was just to convince you that given that setup over there, meaning the lifted commutator map with G and G tilde being what they are, that setup gives you a sort of canonically associated cohomology class in degree 3 of the map. Okay? So what? Where does L0 come in all of this? So, okay, so if you bear with me just a second, I'm just going to write some exact sequences down on the board, and I'll tell you what you're looking at. Thank you. Okay, so these are the exact sequences in a sense that define the cohomology of the map. And one of them maps to the other because the coefficient homomorphism is natural. Okay. So I told you that phi tilde star has a kernel and it's generated by L naught. So here is that map. Of course, here it is with real coefficients. Incidentally, this map is zero because this is a copy of the real numbers and the pullback of eta is exact. So the fact that this map is zero, so this map is zero, and this group here is zero, which tells you that this middle map is an isomorphism. Okay, and now suppose you knew, say that, and this is a copy of the integers, remember, suppose you knew that L in the integers mapped to zero, that is to say that L is a multiple of L naught. If L maps to zero, then there's some pre-image here which maps to something which maps to eta, the cohomology class determined by eta. But in particular, this map is an isomorphism, which tells you that if L maps to zero, the pre-image you got maps to this distinguished cohomology class alpha, or L times alpha. So let me just write that down. Let me write it down over there. So I guess the observation from looking at those exact sequences that map to each other is that if L is a multiple of L naught, then there is a cohomology class. Let's call it beta in H3 of the map with integer coefficients such that the image under the coefficient map is L times this distinguished class alpha, which just arrives from the setting here, this map. Okay, so all I've really, and this is if and only if, by the way, you only get such a pre-image, beta, if L divides L naught. So now the whole point of the calculation, in other words, why did we compute L naught as the kernel of this map, was because we were interested in which L's had the property that this cohomology class here, L alpha, with real coefficients, which of these have a pre-image beta. Okay, so again, it's not expected that it's clear why anyone does this at all, but let me just say that this beta here is called a level L prequantization of something, which I'll explain later. A level L prequantization. Okay, so up to now, is there any questions about what it is that, say, what L naught is or anything I've said? Okay. Maybe I'll just quickly mention that but maybe elaborate slightly more later on, that this map phi, or phi tilde, is equivariant with respect to G tilde, or G, where G acts on itself by conjugation, or on the product by conjugation on each factor. Which means, basically, we could have asked all of this equivariantly, but I'll say more about that in just a minute. So, okay. So the I guess originally the question was really asked for even products of G, like G to the 2G. And that turns out to not depend on G. g to the 2k. That turns out to not depend on k. So I'm starting off with this because it's sort of simpler. But like I said, so I'm hoping that by the end of this, which I should get there, I'll give you sort of motivation as to why this was considered to begin with. Okay, so that leads me to, I guess, the next section. Called pre-quantization. Of quasi-Hamiltonian G-spaces. Hamiltonian. Okay. So I need to tell you what all those words mean. So let me give you a definition. Actually, let me just assume here that G is simply connectors. So the G here, as you'll see in a moment, refers to the target of the map phi tilde or phi. But you'll see that in just a minute. So what is a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space? So quasi-Hamiltonian G-space, it's a phrase that takes quite a while to write on the board, is... So it's a G-equivariant map. So, of course, here by G-equivariant map, I really mean a G-space M together with an equivariant map. So it's this and a two-form on M, which happens to be G invariant, which we can view as an equivariant two-form on M, satisfying a couple of things. Satisfying this equation, this is the sort of equivariant version of the thing that I told you before. In other words, eta sub g, if you like, this lies in the equivariant cohomology in degree 3, and in fact it's an integral class, that is, it's in the image of the coefficient homomorphism of the... It is the image of the generator of the coefficient homomorphism of this group, which again is isomorphic to Z, because G is simply connected. But in any event, the story is exactly the same as what I told you before, but now everything is equivariant. And this DG means the differential in the equivariant, in the Cartan model of equivariant differential forms. Anyway, you have differential form descriptions, again, of a distinguished cohomology class. And this tells you, oh, so there's another condition which I'm not going to actually tell you what it is. But it involves, it is a non-degeneracy condition on the two-form omega. I'm not going to tell you because it's not actually used in, at least I don't think it's used at all in the work that's been done. Okay, so like before, this equation here, so the fact that when you pull this differential form back, it's exact or equivariantly exact, that tells you, so I guess the main feature for me anyways, is that this map phi comes with a cohomology class let me call it alpha again. So you have, again, a cohomology class in degree 3 of the map. Now, it's an equivariant cohomology class, but the story is exactly the same as before. Okay. So now, I'm going to tell you what a pre-quantization is. I guess I've already told you in a way. But this is sort of the more or less abstract setting of which this is a particular example. Okay? Okay. So the other thing I wanted to define is what pre-quantization, or I guess I wanted to define the title. A pre-quantization of a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space phi as before, it's a cohomology class, cohomology in degree 3 with integer coefficients. Such that under the coefficient homomorphism, it maps to your distinguished class that you have. So that's, I guess, maybe just to be a little bit more complete, I should say, a level L prequantization, because that's what I've been doing. Level L prequantization is a cohomology class that maps to this thing. All right. So I am kind of giving this talk backwards, I realize that, in that I've given you a table, it has certain integers on it. I told you what the integer was defined as, the kernel of some map, or alternately viewed as describing conditions under which a certain relative cohomology class is integral. So now let's try to convince you that this comes from someplace. And I think en route to getting there, I guess maybe what I'll do is I'll talk about the example that I gave you, namely M equals G cross G, or maybe G to the 2K, and describe sort of what this moment map is, at least in a differential geometry sense. Oh, but yeah, by the way, this map phi is called a moment map. I didn't really say that, but I may say it in the future.
Very stupid question.
Okay.
Does the word quantization come from the fact that you're going from real coefficients to integral?
Oh, you mean going back to integral coefficients?
That's why you use the word quantization.
So
is that somehow quantized?
Okay, so first, as far as I know, this, when it comes to the history of the word, my answer really is I don't know. But pre-quantization is part of a larger program, say, called geometric quantization. And that's something that, to be honest, I'm learning about and know relatively little about, but it has to do with, so I don't know anything about physics, but I'm told there are some things called quantum mechanical theories and classical theories. And if one takes a quantum theory and takes what is called the classical limit, you get a corresponding classical theory. The reverse direction of taking a classical theory and trying to find the quantum theory whose classical limit is that is called quantization. And to do that involves a lot of things, but step 0 or step 1 is pre-quantization. And this fits in that framework. But yes. That I will mention later.
So we go back to all topology and find out whenever we found an integral representative for something, we get an output of quantized.
Okay. Good question. So I don't know. This has been talked about, I guess, in at least three talks already, but I'll sort of quickly go over it again. Okay, so instead of looking at G cross G, I'm going to extend it to two G copies of G. And it's exactly the same map. In other words, this map, instead of being the commutator map, it's the product of commutators, which will, sorry, I guess I need to lift it first. I'll lift it from the bottom. And this map here is so it takes A1, A2, B1, B2, A1 through AG, B1 through BG, I guess, to the product of commutators, and that specializes when G equals 1 to what we were just talking about. This map also lifts for exactly the same reasons. You just lift it in the naive way. Okay, so as was discussed before, I guess, there's this thing called the moduli space of flat connections, flat on the trivial bundle, sigma cross G down to sigma, where sigma is, compact orientable surface with one boundary component. Okay, and it's moduli space of flat connections on this trivial bundle up to based gauge transformations. So we've heard this story before. I'll come back here. Holon only defines a bijection from this thing to Hom of pi 1 of the surface into G, which can further be identified with G to the 2G after choosing generators here. Okay, so now you have a map into G. This map is the product of commutators map, and it models a map which takes a flat connection. So let's give it for an equivalence class, I guess, a flat connection. And it sends it to the Holon only of that connection around the boundary. So when you think about it, this boundary, got your surface. This boundary, as a path, after choosing generators in pi 1 of sigma, is equal to the product of commutators of those generators. So that's why, after looking at these identifications, it takes this connection theta to the whole and only of this connection around the boundary. And so what is then, so that's this map here. What is the lift to G tilde? To mod out by conjugation here. I'm not modding out by conjugation yet, anyways. So I'm looking at, so I didn't write everything down. So this is the moduli space of flat connections on sigma cross G to sigma up to transformations, gauge transformations, which are up to base gauge transformations, which are the identity when you restrict to a particular fiber, a specially chosen fiber. That's why I don't yet. Okay, so the lift models this map. So which takes connection theta, it pulls back, so you've got your trivial bundle, you can consider the G tilde bundle, which covers it. Take this connection, pull it back to here, and again, just take the whole nomi, but as a G tilde connection. So this thing lies in G tilde. So in any event, there are nice descriptions in the differential geometry world that describe this commutator map and the lifted commutator map. And in particular, so this is kind of my excuse to lead into symplectic reduction and the connection to, I guess, regular prequantization in Hamiltonian, regular Hamiltonian sense. If you consider, so if you just ask yourself what is the level set of the identity of the product of commutators, well, this is the moduli space of flat connections whose whole and only around the boundary is trivial. And as a set, I guess, this is just the disjoint union of all the inverse images of central elements, of pre-images of the identity under the map from G tilde to G, that is to say, elements in pi 1. And after you quotient out, so you have a residual G action, which is sort of quotienting out now by all gauge transformations. This describes this space as, this is a decomposition of this space into components. It's a theorem, actually, that these fibers, phi tilde inverse of Z, are connected to Weinrichen, but I won't mention any more than that. So why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because if you have your surface here, who, and you're considering the inverse image of the identity, which means you're considering flat connections whose holonomy around the boundary is trivial, which means you can kind of think of these connections as restrictions of a connection on the closed or sort of capped off surface. Remember, for flat connections, holonomy is defined by lifting paths and so on, but it's independent of the homotopy type of the path. So if your holonomy is trivial around this boundary, imagine that the hole was filled in, then that path would be contractible. And you could think of it as a connection on the capped off surface. So what am I saying there? Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second. Okay. So given that I've lost my train of thought, maybe I'll just sort of start over. Not start over. I'll start over with 10 minutes left. I guess maybe I'll just sort of skip to the punchline, I think, of what I wanted to say here, forgetting about the derivation, is that this thing can be viewed as the moduli space of flat connections on the closed surface, and this describes the components of that. Now, for reasons which I have explained either very poorly or not at all. Nevertheless, you'll notice in this decomposition they're sort of enumerated by elements of pi 1. And, okay, this is, by the way, moduli space. Maybe that's the words I was missing before in my vocabulary. This is the moduli space of flat G bundles over sigma, which means sigma hat. And as I think was discussed in a previous talk, these G bundles aren't necessarily topologically trivial, as they are over here. In other words, here, if you consider any G bundle, sigma up to homotopy is a wedge of circles, so the bundle has to be topologically trivial. Here, there's a one-to-one correspondence between these things and pi 1 of G. So this decomposition is, being the moduli space of flat G bundles, decomposes it into each bundle type. And each one of these things, this is where I'm going with this, by the way, is an example of a symplectic quotient of a quasi-Hamiltonian G space. Probably the poorest explanation ever given of that, but yeah, so, okay. Yes, given, so if you think of a closed surface, you can think of constructing a G bundle over the closed surface minus a disk and a disk by taking two trivial bundles and gluing them together. And to glue them together, you need a transition function, which is given by a map from the intersection, which is an S1, into the group. So, trivial bundle over that, trivial bundle over this, and then when you glue them together, you need the clutching function from S1 into G. That's the element of pi 1 that tells you the bundle type. Anyway, if you'll permit me to move on and forget that this ever happened. These quotients are examples of, I guess I'll say, symplectic quotients. So So, namely, given a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space, so here's, I guess I'm going to tell you a fact, which is, by the way, in the paper, anything to do with what a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space is due to Eckhard, Alexeyev, and Malkin. And this is one of these, I'm now going to tell you a fact that's in that paper. So given such a thing, if, let me just say it this way, if E, the neutral element in G, is a regular value, of the map, then it turns out that G acts locally freely on the inverse image of E, and that this two form, when you pull back to the inverse image, so I guess I'm saying that G, let's just let J denote this inclusion map. If you pull back that two form that you started with, that you, you're given in your data for a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space, this thing, descends D to a symplectic form on the space denoted N mod mod G, which is phi inverse of E mod G. So this space is not in general a manifold, be an orbifold, I guess. But why am I bringing it up? I'm bringing it up because how are we doing out there? Okay, thanks. I bring this up to tell you this. I guess this is like a proposition. If you start with a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space, if this, say, admits pre-quantization, meaning, remember, phi is a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space, it comes with this real cohomology class in degree 3 of the map, and if it admits a pre-quantization, that means it has some integral lift. So if this admits a pre-quantization, then this cohomology class, I guess I'm saying also that E is a regular value, so I can actually make this construction. So this is the pullback of omega, turns out to be closed, and defines the cohomology class in H2 of phi inverse of E is integral. Meaning in the image of the coefficient homomorphism. So now you're talking about a certain cohomology class, so you've got phi inverse of E, you've got a certain cohomology class here, J upper star of omega, which descends to a symplectic form on this guy. And if this class happens to be integral, then you know that so this is kind of like the equivariant version of the correspondence between line bundles and H2 with integer coefficients. There's an equivariant line bundle, G equivariant line bundle over this space, whose equivariant term class is this thing. And if you happen to be lucky and the action from on the G action here is free, then you get an honest-to-goodness manifold down here, which means that this equivariant bundle you get over phi inverse of E descends to a vector bundle, a line bundle, downstairs with curvature equal to the symplectic form. That is a pre-quantization of a quasi-Hamiltonian G-space in the case where G acts freely induces a pre-quantization in the usual sense of the symplectic manifold M mod mod G. I think it's best that I stop and thank you for your attention.